Coming up on Golf Today, day three of the PGA Show, Orlando, Florida, Orange County Convention Center. We have all the newest gear, clothes, and more to make 2023 your best year yet. Rory McIlroy on the leaderboard in the Middle East, chasing a third title at the Hero Dubai Desert Classic. Highlights of the world number one are on deck. And Sam Ryder is rolling at Torrey Pines out front against a stacked field at the Farmers. Is win number one on the horizon? Find out next on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
It is the 70th edition of the PGA Show, officially kicked off Wednesday at the Orange County Convention Center, Orlando, Florida. The city, beautiful, always one of the biggest weeks on the golf calendar. Folks in the industry reconnecting, taking stock, sharing some ideas on the year ahead. The world's largest business-to-business golf event with some 800 golf companies in attendance. This is Golf Today. Damon Ack alongside Rich Lerner in for Eamon Lynch, who's not feeling well. He'll be back next week. Where do you want to go, buddy? We got golf in the Middle East, San Diego, and a big show in Orlando.
Damon, good to be here. Two juicy stories brewing. John Rahm still with a chance for three in a row.
Yes.
Rory V. Reed. That would be Patrick Reed with legs in the Middle East. And, you know, it's a balmy 39 degrees here in Connecticut, but the sun's up, the wind is down.
Yes.
Brother, it is playable right now.
Is it playable?
I think so.
It's playable in Orlando. I know that much. Are you into the gadgetry of the PGA Show?
No, I'm not a gadget guy.
Okay.
But I appreciate everything that's in the pipeline down there, that's for sure.
Well, there are a lot of gadget fans down in Orlando, Florida. In fact, it started way back in 1954, Dunedin, Florida. That's the west coast of the state near Tampa. It started out of the trunks of cars, folks selling wares. And look at it now, the largest business-to-business golf event, 800 companies, nearly a million square feet of exhibit space at that Orange County Convention Center. You got movers and shakers, upstarts, dreamers, all hoping to make connections and make things happen down in the city. Beautiful. Right now, let's say our first hello of the day to Matt Adams and Amy Rogers. Guys, you've been killing it all week. Good morning.
Thank you very much, guys. It is great to see you guys on this Friday morning, which is kind of a bittersweet one, to tell you the truth, because this is the last day of the 2023 PGA Show. How about you, Amy? What are you expecting today? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, it's been a blast so far. I'm excited to see what else is going on. It's still got a little bit of a buzz going here. We've been talking about it all week, just the number of fans, the number of people that we've seen, and the numbers prove it. Some numbers coming from the National Golf Foundation this week. 500,000 new golfers just last year. So you can understand, this isn't just talk when we're talking about all these people being here. It really shows. I mean, these are the representatives taking this sort of information they're learning this week, the new equipment, the new gear. They're taking it back to all these golfers that are flocking to this game. And this is growth like we haven't seen in a long time, the most we've seen in more than two decades. It's unbelievable the amount of people we're seeing pick up the game.
It truly is, because that 500,000 is on top of the record gains that the game had during the pandemic.
Yes.
And what's happening here behind us in this final day is that the industry professionals that come into a PGA Show, they kind of have their hit list of what they want to do day one, day two, day three. So day three, Damon, you used the word gadgets. It is kind of about the gadgets. And we're going to be taking a look. We'll mix some clubs in there as well, but there is more gadgetry in what lies in store today and where we're going to go out and head out. But I would ask you, Rich, I would ask you, Damon, what do you guys want to check out? We'll see what's here that might be in your interest.
A short game for me. That's all. Can you send me a short game? How about you?
Something that helps me get it in from 3 feet. I'm struggling right now. My friends are seeing every single one. It's getting harder as I get older.
Can you help a couple brothers out, Maddie?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I had a guy come up to me yesterday, and they have a putter that's mounted to a hockey stick. I'm not kidding you. It has a little bit, Happy Gilmore to it, but it's really, hockey sticks nowadays, as our viewers in Canada would be quick to tell us, are carbon. And so the way it sits, you can anchor it if you want to, as you guys well know, but the way it sits in the hands might make it a little bit easier, Rich, so you don't get a, I'm not saying you are, but so you don't get a little bit nervy.
I'll fire off a slap shot. Bring me one of those, whatever it is.
Check.
Because I've been punting left-handed lately.
I'll be really doing whatever it takes.
You know how it is.
Yeah, it's
right?
A tough game. A lot of good hockey players play some great golf as well. Mario Lemieux, for example, loves this game. And as noted, because of that six-hour weather delay, this from the DP World Tour will be played over 72 holes, concluding on Monday. You've got round two concluding Saturday, round three scheduled for Sunday, and then that round four scheduled for Monday. And we haven't had a chance to get your thoughts on this tee gate between Rory
everybody
and Patrick.
Everybody else has weighed in. My wife, my mom, everybody seems to have something to say about it. You know, Reed constantly evokes the phrase that begins with what a, and on the generous side, that sentence would be what a tough competitor. But most of the time it is what a colossal, and the next word rhymes with class, but you can lose the CL. Is the incident overblown? Yes, he just flicked a tee. But to pretend that it could be business as usual, just a couple of guys chopping it up on the range, is ludicrous. Either Reed is willfully ignorant or he's trying, and I suspect this is the case, to get in Rory's head. Look, Rory is being asked here to play nice with the guy who is part of a group that wants to shut down his business, that is trying to engineer an institutional coup, and that institution, this hierarchy of professional golf, with all of its pathways to the highest levels, is one that has fed everyone on the range in Dubai and the one at Torrey Pines, and the rival league was two players, this guy and Tiger Woods, from wrecking that institution. So don't pretend that it is okay. It's not. Rory, in a sense, is saying, hey, you want to start a tour that rips apart my tour? You're not getting friendliness on the range. Damon, not surprisingly, Patrick Reed is contending. This is where he is comfortable as the loathsome heel. This is when he thrives as the outcast against the prom king.
And it's nothing new, is it? Going back to his days in college, leaves Georgia under some murky circumstances, goes to Augusta State, now Augusta University, and what does he do? Win back-to-back national championships. 2018 Masters? Alongside Rory McIlroy, you'd have thought Rory would have been born in Athens, Georgia. The patrons, by and large, everybody on that property wanted Rory McIlroy to win the green jacket. Who walked away with the green jacket? Patrick Reed. 2 years ago, this very week, Farmers, Saturday. Bit of a controversial drop, some might say. The next day, Patrick Reed goes out and wins the golf tournament by five shots. He creates these instances, these issues, and they're not distractions for him, Rich. It's jet fuel for this player. Being the heel, being the antagonist, is nothing new for Patrick Reed.
And here he's taken on the crown prince. At this point, I think, excluding Tiger, the most beloved figure in the game. And I think Reed is on his way. He may have some supporters in a camp or two, I don't know. But at this point, I think he's the most reviled figure in the sport. And he's probably okay with that. I don't know.
I tell you what, this could be jet fuel for Rory, though, as well. Rory has not been one to shrink from the fight over the last several months, as we've seen, as he's embraced this role as an ambassador for traditional professional golf, you might call it. He's played some of his best golf, winning a third FedEx Cup, winning in Canada. Make no mistake, you know, Patrick Reed may not be the only one who's getting some energy from these kind of moments.
And this is like, you know, you go to a restaurant, right, and you run into some people whose kid punched your kid at school. Mm. Or you're shopping at the Home Depot, and you run into the neighbor who's had his sprinkler on. It's been hitting the side of your house and doing some paint damage. It's uncomfortable. And it is going to be highly uncomfortable when we get to Augusta National.
Is this bad for the game? Is this dangerous? Some people say golf needs a little spice. We talk about hockey. You know, the gloves are off. In hockey, golf typically different, but, you know, rivalries, Jets, Patriots, Giants, Eagles, is this a little spice good?
In a modern world, yes. It adds intrigue, maybe some eyeballs to what we're going to see this weekend in Dubai. If it is a Rory against Poulter, Rory against Patrick Reed, any of the live guys, and that would be the same when we get to Augusta National. So from that standpoint, yes, but I think we know it's not especially good on the whole for the game of golf.
But we're hearing some voices, Sir Nick Faldo, for example, commenting on this time in the game. What did he say?
Leaving no doubt as to where he falls on all of this. Nick Faldo in a recent interview saying of LIV Golf, their tour is meaningless. They're done. It's a rival tour. If you, and this is to my point, Damon, Nick saying, if you work for a company for 20 years and then leave to go to a rival company, I can promise you, your picture won't still be on the wall. You've moved on. Fine. Off you go. Now, Faldo, Ryder Cup great for the European side during their halcyon days. He says of the Ryder Cup, they shouldn't be there because they've gone off and you've got to move on. They're all at the age where Europe needs to find a new breed of 25-year-olds that can play half a dozen or more Ryder Cups, and I think we're going to have that. And again, I agree with that. Look, Poulter, Stenson, G-Mac, Garcia, Westwood, these guys are unquestionably all Ryder Cup legends, but they made a choice, Damon, to play a league that is meant to take down the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that was part of the PGA Tour players' issues with the lawsuit, these LIV golfers, you know, filing a temporary restraining order, trying to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs after leaving the PGA Tour. They were not able to get into the playoffs, but I think it's going to be fascinating and perhaps uncomfortable at Augusta National when you consider the pageantry that we're using, the champions' dinner on that Tuesday, when you consider who will be in that room and maybe who won't be in that room.
I'm hearing there's a chance that some of the old guard will not attend the champions' dinner. We don't know for sure, but I know that it's going to be uncomfortable to use that word again. Augusta, I think, you know, has always prided itself on uniting this sport. We get there in April, there's a great coming together.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not going to be the case this year. And everybody knows it. Look, Augusta National, the Masters, has been dragged into this legal entanglement with LIV Golf. So there's some frayed feelings on the side of Augusta National, I would assume. This will not be a typical Masters. There is no way we can run from it. It is the best feeling tournament, right? It's about that vibe, that kind of Southern hospitality, that civility. And I don't think, at least in the first few days, that's going to be the case.
These are unprecedented times. You hope that by the time Thursday rolls around of Masters Week, that the focus is on the golf. But you just don't know in this era that we're living in.
Look, I said this was sort of an institutional coup d'etat they were trying to engineer. Augusta National is the very center of kind of golf institutionalism, all that it represents, the best ideals, presumably, of the sport. And it's all heightened when we get there. Every fracture and crack in the game, all the you know, all the bad feelings, I think, are going to be heightened. I think the LIV guys will likely be on their best behavior, but it's just going to be tough. What do the pairings look like? You know, what does that champions' dinner look like?
Well, we'll be reading into the groupings and the pairings. Who's with who? Is there a message behind who's playing with who? What happens on Sunday if a LIV golfer's in the final group with a Rory McIlroy? I mean, these are all possibilities going into this first major championship of the year.
No question. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Stay with us. Coming up on Golf Today, just a little bit from now, the CEO of the PGA of America, Seth Waugh, is going to sit down with Matt Adams down at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida. His thoughts on the industry and the state of the game, you'll hear that in just a bit. The 70th edition of the PGA Show officially kicking off Wednesday at the Orange County Convention Center, Orlando, Florida. Always one of the biggest weeks on the golf calendar. Folks in the industry reconnecting, taking stock, sharing some ideas on the year ahead. We have you covered on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
And hello again, and welcome, Rich Lerner. Pleased to be alongside Damon Hack, PGA Show, Orlando, Florida. Shoe game, short game, shirt game, load it, launch it, love it, gear up, stock up, show up. What a week down there.
It is. And you know what? I used to be on the set there in Orlando where Matt Adams and Amy Rogers are. And after the show, I'd be the one walking those 10 miles of show aisles looking for a new driver, a new wedge, something to help my game. It's a week for the optimist, the gadget lover, and everyone looking for to bring that handicap just a little bit lower in the new year.
Yeah, look good, play better. You and I were talking during one of the breaks. I mean, it is so high tech right now.
It is.
I'm a little old school.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that plugged in when I go when I go to the golf course. But that said, there's so much new game improvement stuff out there that you can access through your phone right now.
Yeah.
And AI's on the way. I know that. Whatever. If it works, if it helps me,
I think there's
shoot
a
lower
for
scores, I might get
no
to it.
No question about it. When you're on the range working on your game, you know, you want to know maybe what your numbers are or how far your 8-iron goes. There's a lot of tech that helps you do that. And then once you're on the golf course, it's about kind of quieting the mind and looking at the target and kind of focusing on just not where you are at the top, but just that tree. That's the tree. I'm going to hit it toward that tree, and on you go.
I still react to a good tip from a good PGA professional.
Who are you telling?
I got
who
one in Puerto
telling?
Rico because I'm hangback guy, right? I get underneath it.
Yeah.
And he told me, on your follow-through, clear that left hip, and then with that right arm, extend like you're shaking hands. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On that follow-through.
It's a little harder to clear the hip these days.
I am so good with it in the newsroom.
You see what,
in that position, get over a ball.
Different story on the golf course, right?
It's a different ball game. The man who is essentially in charge is Seth Waugh. He's the CEO, PGA of America. Had a good stewardship going back to 2018. Came out of the world of high finance, highly accomplished. And that BA in economics and English from prestigious Amherst College. Now with more, let's go to our old home in Orlando, Florida, in the Convention Center. And we welcome Matt Adams, who's with our friend Seth Waugh. Gentlemen,
thank you very much for that introduction, as I am honored to be joined by the CEO of the PGA of America. And you just heard Damon and Rich talking about the fact that, so much of this show from a public perspective, even a media perspective, is about the gadgets. It's about the equipment. It's about all the buzz. That's all the frosting on the cake. But the sentries at the gate of the game behind all that are the PGA of America professionals. And Seth, I want to ask you about that. Here we are now on the closing day of the 2023 PGA show. Have you had time to assess? What are your impressions?
Yeah, I mean, our guys, as you say, are the guys that teach you how to do all that stuff. And now we even got Lerner out there trying to give lessons on air. That was nice.
He's got a future.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's back. As Mark Twain famously said, that the rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated, right? I mean, the last couple of years have been very hard in a million different ways, but obviously running a thing of this scale indoors was impossible 1 year, was scaled down last year, but it's back and it's bigger and better than ever. It's nice, we were playing defense and now we're back on offense, and the game's never been in better shape across the board. You walk on this floor and you can feel it. Here we are on a Friday and it's still like this used to be a Wednesday crowd, and we're seeing it on a Friday. And golf, golf for the first time, it's kind of ups and downs for sure, but for the first time ever, it's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that is palpable kind of everywhere you go. All the, the neat stuff that's going on, the technology, the disruption that we're seeing in a very positive way is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's so encouraging to us is, the growth was phenomenal during the pandemic and has sort of flattened out this year, which I think is a huge success, right? People have gone back to work, and we're not seeing that dip that we thought we might see as that happened. And what's really encouraging is the construct of the growth. We're hitting records for first-timers. We're hitting records for juniors. We have 3.5 million new juniors that have come into the game in the last year. Almost 3.5 million people that hit their first golf shot. And the other really cool thing about it is the construct of that, right? Because the two fastest going cohorts are people of color, kids of color, grown-ups of color, and women and girls. And so it's We just think this is so much stickier and generational growth than we've had in the past when you had kind of economic booms, if you will, or a tiger boom. This one is here to stay, and you can see it on every golf course everywhere. And our professionals, thankfully, are out there. They're the frontline workers, so they're tired. You know, they've been working hard. And we're out there, you know, they didn't, you know, if you're a PGA professional, you're not working from home, right? Like, you're out there every day grinding, and we're trying to, you know, create some more work-life balance for them somehow in this thing, too. But, look, bull markets are a lot more fun than bear markets, I've discovered, so it's great.
It also is great to see the way that the entire golf industry has come together. This week, you had a golf leadership summit. How did that go? What did you hope to accomplish with that?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. We're trying to raise the bar in this every year, have reasons for more and more people and perhaps different people to come. And so we created the Golf Leadership Summit and tried to have some really interesting content and interesting speakers, as well as a chance to network. We invited kind of all the leaders of all the industry, and we did a thing in the height of COVID, which was convene the leaders of the game, and that's the equipment companies, the MCOs, the Top Golfs, you know, everybody we could think about. And when I say we, it was myself, Jay, Mike Wan, Molly, and to bring together all of those leaders to talk about two things. The first thing being, how do we make this a sustainable, you know, run? Mm-hmm. We're seeing this bump, and what didn't we do when Tiger burst on the scene to make it generational, to keep it, you know, make it sticky? Number one. And number two, how do we get the game to look more like the rest of the world so maybe the world will behave a little bit more like our game, right? And we had that opportunity given the civil unrest after George Floyd and the boom that we saw in the game. And that's 3 years ago now. The industry's working together closer than it ever has. We did it through COVID in terms of the schedule. We've done it around other disruptions that are happening, and every one of them was here this week. They were my co-hosts, and Martin Slumbers was here from the RNA to be part of this leadership summit. And I think we, you know, it was sort of a show within a show, and it was intimate and terrific, and something I think will become, you know, a big part of the show going forward. So we're excited about that.
Excellent. Now, Seth, obviously we are at, in many ways, a complex time in the game of golf for 2023. Aside from your PGA Championship, it's also a Ryder Cup year. What are your thoughts heading into 23?
I think it's going to be our best year ever, right? So we have to think about it that way. Look, the game's never been in better shape at the participation level, I think on television as well, you know, both on the men's and the women's side. We're excited about our KPMG. We're excited about showcasing and kind of having a coming out party at Frisco with our senior championship, which KitchenAid senior championship, which will be in May, really opening our new home. And I think, you know, perhaps will be one of the, you know, great destinations in golf, as well as a laboratory for golf, as well as a university in the sense that we're training all our people there. There's something for everyone on the whole campus. We've got a lighted par 3, a giant Himalayas putting green called the dance floor. We've got Top Golf experience. We've got the Hall of Fame experience. Like, it's going to be town square in not only Frisco, but we hope for the golf world, and we can't wait to show it off to everybody.
Again, for the purposes of this show and what we're here to focus on this week, I know that there's an initiative about to get more young people involved in the game of golf, also maybe in this profession as well.
Yeah, and Make Golf Your Thing is all about that. So what we've done is create work streams on employment, on player development, on junior golf. We've consolidated our giving to donate collectively to grassroots to promote the game in different ways. We have a job board that's now shared by the industry. We have trying to create supply chain diversity and across the board. And so it's all about that. And obviously it starts with the young, right? And we think PGA Junior League is the greatest thing that ever happened to junior golf. We're making it the World Series, Little League World Series of golf, if you will. And all you got to do is see the participation numbers there. We had another record year of 70,000 or so. And it turns out if you give them a uniform and give them a teammate, and we got 14-year-olds playing with 8-year-olds and girls playing with boys, and and give them a little ice cream at the end, they love it. And so we're all about growing it in every way. I think the other thing that's really encouraging is the off-course participation, right? And,
yeah.
And we're all about embracing golf in every form. So many different ways to consume it now. You've got, you know, obviously I keep saying Top Golf, but those simulators, you know, pop stroke, par threes, you know, it's sort of like, you know, we've always measured it by 18 holes. And if you and I shot hoops tomorrow in our backyard, we would have played basketball today, right? It wasn't five on five with referees, but it was still basketball, right? And I think we got to start thinking about golf in that way. First time ever, we've got more off-course participation than on-course. But the take-up level has gone from, you know, sort of 1% or so to like 10% of, you know, being that gateway towards the game. And so, you know, we're embracing it in every form. And if we can grow the pie, it grows for everybody. And that's how the industry is kind of thinking about it. How do we collectively own the game and grow it in every way we can? And our, you know, again, our PGA professionals are out there doing that. If you're truly gonna, you know, embrace the game, you got to get better at it, right? And that's where we come in to teach and coach and make lives better through this beautiful game.
It is the 28,000 plus PGA professionals spread out from coast to coast, the foundation of all these things for the game. You can get more information on any of what Seth has been discussing with us just by logging on to PGA.com. Always a pleasure.
Matt, great to see you. Thanks for being here. And thanks for Golf Channel for all you do. And
thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're excited. We're thrilled with you know, you throw a party and you never quite know who's going to show up, but a lot of people seem to like it.
It was a great party indeed, gents. We send it back up to you.
Thank you, Matt. So much important business happening this week.
By the way,
in Orlando.
Adults like ice cream too.
Yes,
okay?
We do.
Seth is very thoughtful.
Yeah,
I think he's done an excellent job. In leadership with the PGA of America, you think about it, Damon, wide open spaces, wide open to all. It's a beautiful sport, and it might be the right sport for these times. Coming out of COVID, we were all cooped up, and I think there was this sense that golf wasn't just fun to play, that it was crucial for your sort of physical and emotional well-being. We were sort of all zoomed out, right? I mean, and it's nice to kind of get in the zone out on the golf course and unplug. I know we talked about there are lots of ways to, you know, measure your progress through technology, but it's nice to unplug and just get out and walk and play the game.
Yeah, the game attracted so many new players or players who had put down clubs and had come back to the game, maybe hadn't played for 5-10 years, and give it a second look.
Do you sense, Damon, that the game is, to use Seth's word, sticky? That this little boom here.
I like the word that he used. I think it's hard. I think it's gonna be very hard. I love the thrust of the PGA of America wanting to make the game look more like the country, but it's also important to remember there are some big systemic barriers that I'm going to have to overcome.
Such as,
you know, generational poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, you know, how did the country come to be the way that it did in terms of suburbs and low-income housing? I mean, these are issues that are generational and decades, and there is a push, I'm going to be honest, to try to erase some of the talk. No one wants to talk about some of those difficult issues. You have to talk about the difficult issues and the history of our country so you don't repeat those same mistakes. So golf is playing a very important role in trying to make the game look more like the country, but it is a difficult, hard proposition, and it's going to take leaders like Seth Waugh and Mike Wan and Jay Monahan.
Which initiatives do you think are working toward that end?
Yeah, I mean, First Tee, for example, the Make Golf Your Thing, bringing people who would never have given golf a first look and showing them the benefits of the game, the mental health benefits, the connectivity that you can make as a young person in terms of, you know, jobs in the future, how many deals are made on golf courses. If you're coming from the inner city, just those aren't things that you're thinking about. How do you kind of change that dynamic and that thought process? Well, it's hard when a lot of people in those circumstances are dealing with second and third jobs and generational poverty, and they haven't even seen golf courses. They've never even been to a green space to enjoy that. So that's where it gets difficult. It's going to take a lot of deep thinking, a lot of deep pockets, and a lot of, I think, opening up eyes and hearts as well, and minds.
There's a tournament, and you're going to be on the call.
Yeah.
Be played at Torrey Pines this Sunday.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Farmers Insurance Invitation. It's hugely important.
Help.
A lot of companies like Farmers and Cisco, for example, Billy Horschel, PGA Tour winner, a FedEx Cup champ, has lent his name and energy to helping 18 minority golfers get a chance to play 36 holes at Torrey Pines. They wouldn't normally have access to TrackMan and to mental coaches and short game gurus to try to chase their dreams. This is a tour the likes of Tim O'Neill played for years and now exempt on PGA Tour champions. It's an important vehicle for these players, many in their 30s who have been bouncing around the mini tours for a long, long time to see what a PGA Tour golf course, a major championship golf course, is like, so they can kind of figure out, well, this is where I need to get better. And to have television cameras out there following you. And just different things that this is a hard game. We talk about it all the time, but it's really hard when you don't have the experience, the money, the team. And to have Farmers and Cisco and companies backing initiatives like this is hugely important.
And to create some heroes, some role models, like a Tim O'Neill, and it'll be somebody new maybe this week that somebody younger can look at and say, I like that. That could be me. I think Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala, J.R. Smith, guys like that from other sports who love the game are doing their part. I think that, too, can have an impact.
Yeah, Farmers Insurance Invitational Sunday on Golf Channel. Back on Golf Today, Sam Ryder has a lot of wonderful golf shots over the first couple of days at Torrey Pines. This par 3 third South Course yesterday, one of his best. Yeah. Go ahead. A little round of applause. 33-year-old from Winter Park looking for his first PGA Tour win. Shot 68 yesterday on the south, following that 64 on the north. Tell you what, alongside Brendan Steele once again and Tano Goya from Argentina. They're off at 2:30 Eastern time. Sam Ryder looking for that first win. He's also a Strixon guy. For more on Strixon, we send it out to Orlando with Matt Adams.
So you guys have got to see the product coming in from Strixon for 2023. Brian Schelke is here with me. And, Brian, you're holding the ZX5 in your hand. Why did you start with this one?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, these Mark II drivers, I've been to a lot of PGA shows. I've never had the buzz about these drivers from our sales teams, from fitters. Everyone is absolutely loving these drivers. And it really started months ago when we started getting them out on tour. The tour adoption was like this. It was quicker than we've ever seen for Strixon drivers. We've had a lot of major champions who have their trusty drivers switch into these right away, and it all stems from the ball speed.
And who were some of these names that you're alluding to?
Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama, Shane Lowry, Brooks Koepka, all of them switched instantly because of the performance of these Mark II drivers.
Okay, so where does that performance come from? What is it about this club technically that the folks at home can learn something from that may work for their game?
Well, I mean, it starts with ball speed and distance. Those guys don't want to hit it shorter. They want to hit it longer. And the face on this is super hot. Not only does the face flex quite a bit, but we have a secondary flex zone behind the face. So the whole face kind of rebounds back and forth, producing more energy transfer into the ball and more distance for the golfers.
Nice. Now, in this particular club, I also can see some weight in the back. So let me just grab that from Brian for 1 second. How does that impact the center of gravity, the launch conditions?
Exactly. We have three different models. This is the most forgiving one. This is our ZX5, so we pulled all the weight back to give it higher MOI and more forgiveness and stability. But in addition to this, we have a low spin version of this that's been really popular for those golfers. You need to take about 200-300 RPMs of spin off and maximize their distance that way. Yep. So you can see with this low spin, the weight's up front to take some of that spin off. And then we have a more tour-oriented ZX7 that has a little bit more of a fade bias and then adjustable weights for golfers who like to dial in their ball flight. So we have more options than ever before and high ball speeds. So really the package to fit pretty much every golfer.
And in fairness, you told us about how it was adopted immediately by some of the big names in your stable on tour. How has the testing gone this week? Are people finding better performance?
Yeah, so in R&D, we knew they were good, but until you get them out in the field, you never really know. And what's been probably the most exciting thing is a lot of the best fitters in the country who, you know, are testing all the new products have come to us and been raving about the performance and ball speed. So we're really excited for these drivers and think they're going to do great.
Awesome. We wish you the best with that, too. I just pulled your irons out here because I think they're absolutely gorgeous. Can we run through quickly what we're looking at?
Yeah, exactly. So I think these irons, they're really a nice combination being both fast and pure. So from a speed perspective, the faces on these were designed using kind of a lot of simulation, computer AI to get them like variable faces to give you both speed and forgiveness. So they'll be really consistent. So if you normally hit 160 yards, whether you hit on center, heel, or toe, they're going to go 160 yards. They're really forgiving, easy to hit, but then they're also really pure. They're forged, they feel great, and specifically on the ZX7 iron, which is more of our tour iron, we've been able to put a little bit more meat behind the ball where you are, so it feels softer, but still gives you that stability of a muscle cavity.
They absolutely look great. So do these as well. Maybe you guys will feel the same way. If you get a chance, check out Trixon.
Welcome back to Golf Today. It is a week in our sport unlike any other, and it's coming to an end today. Our Matt Adams has been like a kid at a candy store all week long. He joins us once again to introduce us to a product that brings more golf to your home.
Surely golf is about the health benefits of walking, right? But what do you do with your clubs? Take a caddy? Always fun. But maybe you can have your own personal one. I'll get into the details of what that means. John Iconos here with me. He is the president at Zero Friction. John, you said you got an answer to that question. What are we about to see?
We do, Matt. We have the brand new Zero Friction Stride. It is an autonomous remote control with Follow Me golf bag / trolley.
Really? Tell me about these features. How did you get this thing designed to do what it's doing?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on it. What it is it has a remote control and a 36-hole battery. And wow. And it will walk within 3 feet of you, and it will walk at a pace to keep up with your own stride. So if you're walking fast, it'll speed up. If you're walking slow, it'll slow down and stop within 3 feet of you.
All right, so Frank is working that remote right now, but I'm seeing a lot of pockets in this bag. Could you talk to me about the versatility of the bag itself?
Yeah, the bag itself is made out of a poly leather, so it's water repellent. It has 7 pockets for apparel and accessories. It has a cooler pocket to hold 6 beverages. It has 2 side pockets to hold the beverages.
6 beverages.
Yeah, 6 beverages of your choice. And it's fantastic. There is a touchscreen pocket for your phone. And we give you an app for every golf course around the world that you put through that touchscreen pocket, and you get your distance.
And you already said that the battery life is 36 hours on this unit. How easy is it to pick it up, to move it, yeah. Versatility with the bag itself?
Yeah. It's 36 holes, the battery, and it's it has a 5-year warranty on it. And the bag itself has a 2-year warranty on it. And if for any reason the bag tore, it's actually, the bag is a wrap. There's 3 small screws. It unwraps, and you can put a brand new bag on.
I'm telling you what, it looks awesome, it looks exciting, and it looks a lot of fun, particularly for the people that want to try to get out in the golf course, get a little bit more exercise. And I can tell you, being here at the booth, there's a lot of guys standing around watching this stuff happen. So I hope the business has been brisk.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And best of all, the wheels come off, and the cantilevered wheel on the back will recess into the back of the bag, and it can go on the back of a motor cart. So you're only not limited to just walking with it. Should you choose to ride, it's very versatile.
One of those times when the wheels come off, it's actually a good thing. You can check it all out at Zero Friction.
Thanks so much, Matt, here with Alex Holderness and John Bourne, co-founders of the company that bears your name. How did this partnership come together?
John and I met in business school, so we were buddies up in the MBA program at Yale, and we went to Yale in part because we got a really good golf course up there, so we were playing a lot of golf, maybe a little more than we should have, and we kept talking about golf shirts and the way we were kind of looking for something we couldn't find in the pro shops we were going into, and this was back in 2010, 2011, so it was a while ago, and the fits were a little bit different, and we were frustrated, so we decided we were going to go give it a shot and do something ourselves, which for us meant a shirt with a better collar, more structure, a little bit more polished, premium look, and a more tailored fit, something a little more modern. Back then, golf shirts were still pretty baggy and blousy, and we didn't like that, so that's how the brand started.
And John, how has the brand evolved over the years?
Slow and steady growth is the name of the game. We have evolved the product line, and that's been really nice. When we first started at this show, We were in a little 10 by 10 booth, and we struggled to fill that with what we had on offer. But now we can pretty much dress a guy head to toe on the golf course, off the golf course, cheeky range session, whatever it is. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stay true to our original principles, classic style with a more tailored fit, some novel design details that have meaningful performance characteristics, the collar that actually stands up in the shirt, and things of that nature. So it's more of the same.
And as you continue to grow and evolve, what does the future sort of look like for you two?
For us, it's a continued focus on golf. We get the question a lot now, kind of where are we going to go with the brand from here, and we want to stay core to golf. You know, it's where we started as a brand. It's what we love. It's what we know. And so we're going to continue working with golf facilities around the country and a few more around the world. So we've got our sights on some international growth. But really just trying to dress guys for the golf lifestyle and do the best job of that we can.
And speaking of golf, this year the show has just been booming, just getting everyone back together again. It's got a whole sort of different vibe than it has the last few years due to COVID. What has sort of been your impressions of the show this year?
Yeah, well, you said it. It's been a great show. I think the energy is back. I think we've been hearing about a lot of interesting new things happening on equipment, new golf courses being designed, renovated, restored. Certainly on the apparel side, we're excited about what we're bringing. And it's a great show. I think last year was a little bit of a down year. We were here, you know, as a matter of principle, as a golf brand, we were going to be at the industry show to support our professionals and the people who are our customers. But a lot of others weren't, and this year it feels like everyone's back, and the music's playing, so let's dance. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of dancing going on here for sure. I appreciate you two spending some time with us. Thank you so much. Good luck. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate All right, it. Thanks, guys. Back to you.
Amy with a couple of Yaleys down in Orlando. You are a couple hours away until third round coverage of the Farmers Insurance Open. Good leaderboard brewing at Torrey Pines. It's been a busy day in Orlando for the 70th PGA show. Some 800 businesses and products on display all over 10 miles of show aisles of the Orange County Convention Center. With more, we send it out to Bailey Shambly.
Well, guys, if you're anything like me, you go into the pro shops of every course that you go play just to look around. You don't need anything, but you're just going to take a peek, see if anything piques your interest. And usually for me, that is accessories in the pro shop. And we have a lot of great stuff from the 2023 PGA show that I'm going to showcase now for you. We're going to work our way left to right, starting with Smathers and Branson. So this is all handmade, high quality needlepoint stuff. It's really beautiful. You can tell the quality of the pieces they have. Shoes, belts, head covers, hats, and many other accessories. Really beautiful stuff. I just love, these are great for gifts for yourself or others because you really don't see a lot of this on the market, and you just know that it's high quality, it comes from a great place, and the person that you're gifting it to is going to absolutely love it. So Smathers and Branson, love their stuff. Next up we have, this is the G-Belt. So I actually showcased them in the fashion show that I emceed the other night, and it's a really cool belt. So it does it all, not just a belt, G-Belt. It has a place right here for a ball marker. Love it. You don't have to dig in your pocket for it. It has a hidden ball repair, divot repair tool right there. Also, it comes with a glove and a towel. Comes with it, and they Velcro right on and off, so you don't have to, again, be messing around in your pocket. And it really just is very functional, and it's all in one, and so you can have it all with a G-Belt. So next up, we have Dormy, and they have really high-quality leather head covers, and they're beautifully made. They've been around since 2014, and so many fun examples and designs. We have this one, as you can see, from Seminole, so if, you know, you want something for your club, just really beautiful. We have this Beef Eater here, which is a fun little nod to the Queen in England, and then also we have this from... it's a beer can, actually, so know your onions. And then they have the putter head covers as well. So lots of great designs, lots of fun stuff from Dormy. And then we move over to Vimhue, which is a female-owned company for females. So this hat, the concept and the design, if you turn it around, is that ladies can have high ponytails, and they can put their hair through, not just the typical hat spot of down here below. So perfect if you want to wear a high ponytail or a high bun, just very functional as a female who golfs. I can tell you that I definitely love this. Also, what's great, they have
recently come out with a bucket hat. So again, I love a great bucket hat, but I don't typically wear them because I have to wear my hair down and it's just not really functional because I have long hair and it gets in your face when you're playing golf. So not functional, but now you can wear the bucket hat, look cute, and then also have that back there. So love that from Vimhue. And then we also have some accessories from High Love. I've known about this brand for about a year now. They are featherweight, water resistant purses, packs, totes, and luggage for your everyday. They really are functional. I use them as a toiletry kit sometimes, but you can use them in any way, shape, or form. So they have this backpack here. They have a tote bag. They've got a belt bag, crossbody, all the things that you need. And they're really functional, especially if you're going to play golf, say, or you know it's going to be maybe some weather, inclement weather, and you, when you're going to and from places on and off the golf course, you don't want your valuables to get soaked in the weather. So lots of great accessories out there. And again, like I said, I go in and I don't need any of it, but I never leave a golf course without something of it. So great stuff out there for the accessories for 2023. All right, Matt, over to you.
Thanks. I've made my way to the Bridgestone booth where we're talking about ball fitting. We're also talking about some new golf balls with Adam Renberg. So, Adam, take me through. You've got an E9 and an E12 in your hand, and I know these are new for 2023.
Absolutely. We're super excited about both these distance performance golf balls. The new E9 Long Drive was co-designed by the World Long Drive Athletes. And so these guys really get at it. They hit it 200 miles an hour plus. So the E9 is really designed for extreme ball speed. The new E12 Contact is designed based off a lot of studying of contact science. This golf ball delivers 46% more contacted impact so that you can drive it straighter, but then also stays on that wedge so you can get more spin and control around the greens.
Very impressive stuff with these new golf balls from Bridgestone. But as you guys know, Bridgestone has an array of golf balls for every single golfer. We have Jeff standing by to hit a shot for us because I'll take these from you, Adam, so you can show us how your new auto ball fitting actually works.
So Auto Gen 2 is built to fit every player into the best golf ball for their game. So we're going to choose the golf ball that Jeff plays, and he's a distance guy. So we're going to have him step in and hit a shot here. And what Auto's going to do is take his information that he would have just filled out about his game, what he needs around the greens, his ball that he's currently playing. And then when he hits a shot, it's going to look at that data from his shot condition and then match that up with all the ball fittings that we've done over the years and fit him into the right golf ball for his game. So right now it's kind of calculating it, and then it shows that he's a Tour BX player based on his swing speed being over 105. He's at 117, and his ball speed well above 150. He's hitting it about 170 ball speed, and it gives him a recommendation for the Tour BX.
I can see that Jeff is an elite player, and I also know because we practiced this before we went live, he hit it a lot longer on the first one, so he's going to be mad that this is one that actually made it to the play, but he's a great player. Whatever type of player you are, you can find out by using Auto, which is just one of the options that Bridgestone has. These are going to roll out in the spring. You also can go online at bridgestonegolf.com, and you can find out on there, too, what's best for you, or you can get fit with one of their roving tours. How many do you have now? How many of you have actually fit? Do you know what the number is?
Oh, we're approaching 4 million. We're
4 million.
4 million in April.
4 million people fit for the proper golf ball, so check it out at bridgestonegolf.com.
Hey, Matt, one Bridgestone guy who's had success at this week's PGA Tour stop, Tiger Woods, on this date in history, 2008. He won the Farmers at Torrey Pines for the fourth straight year to tie a PGA Tour record for most consecutive wins in a single event. Came back in June of that year and did pretty well, too. You love this game? How about the PGA Golf Management University program? Classroom courses, internships, opportunities for player development in a 4.5 to 5 year program for aspiring PGA professionals offered at 17 different universities nationwide. The program allows students to earn a degree in areas such as marketing, business administration, hospitality, recreation, and park management as well, providing them with the skills to succeed in the golf industry. With more, we send it back to Matt Adams.
Thanks, guys. We're here to have our mini roundtable to talk about PGM programs, what they are, why they are so important. I'm delighted to be joined by a couple of distinguished young PGA professionals, Gabriella Story and Ben Pollan. And so let's get into it. First of all, Gabriella, tell us a little bit about your background and how you found your pathway into being a PGA professional.
Absolutely. I ended up going to NC State University for their golf management program. I played golf all through high school and just wanted to make it more of my career. and started looking at all the different universities and went from there. So found my home at NC State, but now I found a new home at Campbell University. I'm their new program director and have been there since August and absolutely love it. So.
Awesome. So, Ben, I've got the same question for you in terms of your pathway, but I'm going to throw another wrinkle into your question and say also define for us what a PGM is.
Yeah, I'm from Minnesota originally, and I did kind of a national search trying to figure out where I wanted to do one of these programs. And when I visited Campbell, something about it spoke to me. It was mostly the playing and teaching element, which was really attractive to me. It's the pathway. It's the pathway to become a PGA professional in the industry. I've bumped into a lot of people that have tried to do it outside of the golf management programs, and it's. There's a lot more barriers that way. These management programs are part of great universities, great schools, and can really carve out a great pathway to becoming a PGA pro.
Yeah, because consider the fact that if you're in a PGM program, you are going to come out with your degree, but you're also going to come out as an accredited PGA professional. How important do you think it is that we're sending messages to young people, wherever they might be catching this right now, about considering a career in this game?
Absolutely. You can turn your passion for golf into a career. You can get your, university diploma and a PGA membership at the same time. Combine it all, you go on 16 months of internship. I mean, it's just a great package that they've set up, and it's hard to say no to.
It definitely is hard to say no. And here's the better part, and Ben, I'm going to ask you about this, because those that want to employ you, they're not saying no. 100% placement for people that graduate, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and certainly right now. I mean, the industry is starving for assistants and entry-level golf professionals, and that little pocket's going to continue its way up into these great jobs in the industry. It was not that way when I got into it. Mm-hmm. It is now, though, and it's really exciting to see if you're a young, aspiring professional.
There's no doubt about it. When I came into this business, it was about a lifestyle, is what they told us all. You guys have chosen both a lifestyle and you are PGA professionals through your education process. I think it's fantastic. Thank you for taking a few moments to talk with us.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Thanks. Amy, back to you.
Thanks so much, Matt, here with Ryan Gable. Alternate logos, this is such a cool idea, really a company born out of the COVID pandemic, and it has just blown up, especially this week, Ryan, saying you got a huge reaction. How did alternate logos come about during COVID?
It was kind of one of those things. I was an insurance agent at the time. It's always been a hobby of mine, and I put pen to paper on a few logos, and I put them out on an Instagram, and I got a great reaction to it, and for the first couple of years, I sort of kept myself in the shadows. I made it more about the art, and it honestly, it still is. It's a passion project of mine, and something I've wanted to do my whole life, and to do something right, you gotta kind of go all in up with it. So I've done that, and it's been wonderful. We're in over 45 pro shops right now, and I have 140 in production, and that's not counting the people that stopped by the booth this week. So it's going to be a bit busy next 52 weeks for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Good problem to have. What does that sort of workflow look like when you're working with a club to come up with an alternate logo?
There's a lot that goes into it. There's no one size fits all for everybody. There's different things that go into each design. Some people need different things. So I try not to oversell anybody. Mm-hmm. I'll never do a logo for a course just for the sake of it. Mm-hmm. So I will, I'll research and I do all the digging into history. And, one of the areas that I kind of shine is, there's a lot of great artists in the world, is kind of conceptually coming up with the right concept. And that's difficult. I deal with the boards for my pros, and I protect my pros, and I think they appreciate that part. And I keep the logos strictly kind of to the golf courses, so there's an exclusivity aspect of it that I think they appreciate. So
you're a one-stop shop. You kind of do it all. We joked about you being not only the president, founder, CEO, but the janitor, the wizard, the do-it-all. What overall reaction have you gotten to all the work that you're doing here this week?
It's been great. It's been great. And, a lot of it kind of stems from from Instagram. I'm on alternate golf logos on Instagram, and I'm not gonna lie, I've dropped the ball as the janitor a little bit. But yeah, it's just it's just me with my computer and, you know, pencil and paper and my dog in a small apartment. So it's a labor of love. The workflow is a little heavy sometimes a year. Like this time of the year, I mean, I'll probably be working 20 hours a day. So kind of going straight from the computer to bed and then back, and then, you know, not much time has passed, but, you know, I can take my foot off the gas a little bit in the summertime, but this is sort of the time where I got to make my money for the year. So I enjoy it.
Well, it's great to finally meet the face behind all the Instagram logos that we're seeing. Congratulations on the great show this week, and we're excited to see what else you create going forward.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, back to you in the studio.
All right, Amy, from the hustle and bustle in Orlando to the cool breezes in La Jolla, Max Homa, Cal Golden Bear, L.A. native, six shots back off at 2:08 Eastern time. Coverage 3 p.m. Eastern. Golf Today, back after this. Back on Golf Today, a reminder, registration for the 2023 PGA Works Collegiate Championship is now open. The event will be played May 8th through the 10th at Shoal Creek and Bent Brook, Birmingham, Alabama. It was created in 1986, highlighting golf programs at the most underserved minority-serving institutions on a national stage. Now, in 2020, the golf industry came together to address how to bring greater diversity to our sport and how to build on the momentum that golf has experienced since the pandemic. A year later, Make Golf Your Thing was launched as an effort across the golf industry to ensure the future of golf is open to everyone. This campaign invites people to the sport from all backgrounds to enjoy the game of a lifetime in their own way. Well, folks, the 70th PGA Show underway in Orlando, an event that was slowed down by the pandemic, back in full throttle this year. For more from a busy Orlando, we send it to Amy Rogers.
Thanks so much. Here now at Live Pure, this is Robin Lee, marketing director and really jack of all trades for Live Pure. And you're certainly going to recognize some of these faces here behind us. Robin, we were just talking a few minutes ago. They're heavily invested in Live Pure. Tell me how this all came together.
So the guys and girls, they got really tired that the only thing was Gatorade out there, which is just sugar water. So they wanted something that was going to hydrate them, have nutrients, vitamins, and importantly, we have amino acids in our formula. So basically, it's just a singular packet that you mix in with water, and you're good to go on the course. And so they are investors in our brand. We don't pay them any money. They're not ambassadors. They really fully believe 100% in this.
And how does this product work to help you after you've had a workout, after you've been on the golf course?
So we have three different products. We have our Hydrate, which we were just talking about. A lot of people are familiar with other name brands on the market, but they're full of sugar, full of garbage versus us. We're NSF certified for sport. So we went through rigorous third-party testing so you can believe everything that we have is completely legit. And then we have a recovery. So after you play around, really there's nothing out there except maybe go get a drink and call it a day, but then you're sore the next day. So our recovery formula came about so you had something else afterwards so you could feel good about that. And then we also have a natural energy product, so it's not going to make you jittery like some of those other name brands on the market. It's just an all-natural organic supplement with guarana and green tea extract. So Jordan likes to have it at the ninth hole so that he can just kind of refocus and kill it like he does.
What sort of reaction have you had from other players to this new product?
Honestly, I can't say all the names that have it, but we are secretly in a lot of shaker bottles across like golf and NFL and all across the market. So even though we're golf because of these guys and girls, we're across all sports and nutrition. So especially our signature flavor of Justin Thomas is going to be coming out in the spring. So our flavor development is right outside of Nashville. He came in, developed it. So we're really excited to continue to work with them. They're just amazing humans and so glad to be in the golf space. It's incredible.
You guys haven't been around very long, just over a year, but it seems like you've been around for much longer. How much work has gone into developing this product?
It has taken painstaking work from them individuals, people in the back end that I don't want to name them all because I don't want to make anyone feel like they're not included, but we love you all, our LivePure family. It's been in development for 5 years, but we're really starting to pick up steam. We love to be able to be at the PGA Show to tell everybody. The response has been incredible because so many people, they don't think about what they're giving their members or what they're putting in their body, and we love that nutrition. Nutrition and golf are going hand in hand right now.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, Robin.
Of course.
Yeah, all you athletes, golfers out there, check this out. This is going to help you feel much better once you're done with your workout or on the golf course.
Coming up on Golf Today, as Jim Morrison might say, Ryder on the range, shot 4 under 68. Sam Ryder, 36-hole leader at Torrey Pines, off in 30 minutes. Golf Today rolls on.
Golf Today.
Busy time in the golf world. PGA Show back after 2 years of disruptions, bringing together thousands of PGA professionals, golf leaders, executives, retailers from around the world. New products to show, ideas to share, some fantastic presentations, educational PGA professionals, workshops, all centered around the business of golf and also helping you out with your game. This is Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Rich Lerner. Rich, it's been a lot of fun, man. We're leading up to third round coverage at Torrey.
Great coverage today. Matt Adams, Bailey, Amy Rogers down at the PGA Show in Orlando. But did I got a little hint of Marvin Gaye right there. Maybe a little Luther Vandross.
National
the dulcet
anthem?
Tones. Big deal.
That was out of the 70s and 80s. So my friend. Every now and then I break into song.
Nobody better than Marvin Gaye, by the way.
Oh, goodness. Dulcet tones.
Right?
Absolutely. Tell you what, John Rahm's got some dulcet tones in the game of golf right now.
Rombo is on a run right now. I'm excited to see from 8 back to start the day if he can get back in this. Remember, it is a Saturday finish because of the conference championship games. PGA Tour don't want to run headlong into that. So opening par here in the third round.
It won't hurt you. Tough start at the South Course. Just ask Tiger Woods back in the day. Struggled on this hole. Still ended up winning the national championship back in 2008.
John Rahm. Won the U.S. Open when it came back in 2021. Those two late putts at 17 and 18.
Just a moment ago, it was a birdie putt at 2. So a couple pars to start, Rich. Still, I think, very, very dangerous. One of those names you have to watch going into today and tomorrow.
So after his opening 73, he bounces back. He went from 116th on the leaderboard first round all the way up to a tie for 14th. Mm. And he has a largely untested guy running out front, albeit that's a big number to cover, 8 shots. Well, let's go back to Torrey Pines. We are in the good view portion of the PGA Tour from Hawaii now to the cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean in Southern Cal. Kira K. Dixon is reporting from the Farmers Insurance. Kira?
Well, Rich, you guys were just talking about John Rahm possibly being able to move up that leaderboard today, but there's a couple of other names that I've got my eye on that could make a big charge on this moving day, and that's Taylor Montgomery and Max Homa. The two of them are currently 6 back of the leader right now. We've got ideal conditions, absolutely gorgeous day out here at Torrey Pines, but they spoke to the media yesterday about being able to manage Torrey Pines in some pretty difficult conditions.
Yeah, I was proud of that today. I didn't play perfect. I played very well. This golf course will get you. I had 2-3 putts early. One was unfortunate. I don't know how it stayed up on the hill on 8, but the one on 2 was just from a bad tee shot. So kind of just saying, you know, the 3-putt probably wasn't. You know, I made one bad swing and left myself in a tricky spot and did a pretty good job of having a chance at 4. But yeah, all day was kind of up and down. But I guess, yeah, part of it is just the confidence I've been playing golf with for the last few years. Part of it is just trusting my golf swing. Just because you make a bogey out here doesn't mean you can't hit a great tee shot on the next and put yourself in a good position to make a birdie. So I did that. I tried to take each hole and each shot as their own and not think too much about them.
Played solid. Today was definitely a lot tougher. Just with the wind, it was tough to get it right. It would be most of your holes were crosswind, so it just made it really difficult to judge. Sometimes I felt like the wind took the ball, and sometimes it didn't. So there's a lot of lag putting today. I love Torrey Pines. I mean, it's beautiful here, and just the memories that I have, like, it just makes it easier to tee it up. I mean, you kind of know what to expect. I feel very comfortable, I guess, is the feeling that I would describe it as on this golf course. So just try to get some lag putting in on the south course, because that's probably the biggest difficulty I have at Torrey Pines is lag putting.
Well, you just heard Taylor Montgomery mention the word difficult and putting in the same sentence, but really that is not generally the case for Taylor Montgomery in his career so far on the PGA Tour. He hasn't missed a single cut, and he currently ranks 7th in strokes gained putting. So it's been a huge strength for him in his very brief career out here on the PGA Tour. And it was also a strength for him in the very beginning of his career in golf. Right out of college, he entered a competition called the Major Series of Putting in Las Vegas, and a sponsor helped him cover the entry fees to get into that competition. And the deal was with that sponsor that he was going to get 15% of any winnings from that Las Vegas competition. He ended up walking away, guys, with $35,000. This is, for a college kid, a huge amount of money right in the beginning of your golf career. He was able to use that to help pay for his coach, for mini tours, and eventually got him on the path to where he is today. So something tells me Taylor Montgomery is going to continue to lean on that putting over the next 2 days of golf.
No doubt, Taylor playing fantastic golf. Max Homenow, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, went 4-0-0 for Davis Love III at the President's Cup. Great stuff from Kira. Now, from the West Coast to the East Coast, the 70th PGA Show has been rocking in Orlando. This gathering started back in 1954 outside Tampa in Dunedin, Florida. Companies selling wares out of the trunks of their cars, and it has grown to the world's largest business-to-business golf event. Some 800 different companies, PGA professionals, movers, shakers, dreamers, everybody trying to make things happen. We keep it rolling with more from Matt Adams.
Guys, thank you. I have made my way to a booth that I think you're going to be amazed at the technology and the information that's available when it comes to putting. Jin Sun is here with me. She's a member of the KLPGA, and I've got Stan the Man over here with status on the European Tour. Okay, where are we and why are we here?
So we're at TorPut, and first we're going to figure out your putting tendencies through our pattern test. So after that, you get all the details of your putting tendencies, your weakness and strengths, and which line you're favoring. And so just literally all those details. And after that, we're going to move on to the training mode. So now you can see all those visual features. It's not all. So let me just turn
on
one by one.
Turn them on. Why
so
not?
We have the stance line guide here. And we can adjust it for the individuals. Do you feel comfortable with? Maybe I can adjust it. So, and of course, the quarter line.
Wow.
And the rhythm and tempo guide. We can make it a little faster or slower. Then also, this is gonna help you your stroke movement to build a stable stroke.
Very cool. Stan, does this much information and data help you as you're working on your putting?
For sure. I mean, you get so much feedback, and like it's helping that you visually see what you're supposed to do, and that's something you don't get on a normal putting green outside at all.
Certainly. Hold on with that. You have one ball left. Wait on that one, because that's going to be the putt to win the Open. Let me ask you this question, though, Jin-Sun. Why are we here? What are you guys hoping to accomplish being at this PGA show?
We want to spread this technology around the world. This is just amazing. This was actually a sensation in Korea. And, you know, many professionals love practicing on this TorPut green. I do love to. And actually, this is co-developed by the best putting instructor in Korea. And he's made 28 wins for the past 2 years, which is just
impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Including the U.S. Open champion, Arim Kim, Jung-un Lee, and just many star players.
Awesome. Okay, Stan, here's your big moment. This is a putt to win the Open. What will fate hold in store? Oh, he did it. Well done. Well done. All right. It's called Tour Putt, and this is a technology you just heard they're hoping is going to spread around the world so that we all understand that critically important part of the game, putting, even better. Bailey?
Thank you, Matt. I'm here at Marie Birdie with the founder of the company, Ellen, and her daughter, the muse for it, Madeline. So, Ellen, this is really a wonderful brand, which you've done. Tell us what Marie Birdie is and why you were inspired to create this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our mission is really to empower and to bring more girls into the game of golf. And to do that, we really feel that that should be an approachable, you know, like an approachable way to go about it. So for us, everything's about the smile zone. You'll see the sign up there. You'll see our ball markers that we have. And everything is really about the joy, not just of golf, but girls in golf and girls with their girls. So as part of that approachability, what we did is, you know, we created a line that had the girl in mind. So our girl are tweens and teens. So it's only 10, 12, 14, 16 years of age, which is really like a boy, from what I know, we're the only brand that is focusing on these ages. And so, you know, for example, like all of our golf skirts come with pockets in it. It's crazy to me that there are not pockets in girls and women's clothing. You know, you got to put your ball somewhere, your marker, your tees, your golf glove. And, you know, with our designs, we also, you know, have like a nice, like flat front, but in the back it has elastic. So with that approachability, there's also like a cost approachability, something that's meant to last more than just one season.
Absolutely it is. And Marie Birdie, like you said, is for ages 10 to 16. Why is that age range so important, do you think, to get young girls into golf?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's been studies done by the Women's Sports Foundation that found that girls by the age of 14 have left sports 50% greater than males of their peers. And a lot of that, that leaving a sport is for a few reasons. There's a lack of visibility, right? So they're not seeing other girls in that sport. They're not seeing other role models, other, you know, people that look like them. There's also a lack of access or approachability. You know, so like I said, when they come in and it's like, oh, this isn't for me, they're going to move on. Or if they, you know, have experiences that doesn't bring them joy, they're going to say, this isn't for me. So that's really what we're about, is just bringing those smiles and showing just how fun things can be with golf.
And Madeline, what do you love most about Marie Birdie, and why is it important for you to look good on the golf course?
I really love Marie Birdie because there's nothing else really like it, and it really just focuses on these girls that don't really have another brand. So
what do you like about this top specifically? Is this your favorite outfit?
Yes, one of my favorite outfits.
So tell us what you like about it.
I really like that it's very flexible and it moves with me, and it's also very stylish.
And Ellen, how important is it as a role model to your daughter and other young ladies and other women out there for you to do something like this, to really make a difference and really get more women into the game and young girls? Because that's beautiful, and that's really what we want to see, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a crazy journey, you know, developing this, and the girls are really what kept me going. You know, someone asked me, like, well, what's you know, brought you the most joy? And it's really just seeing the reaction. You know, we've had her friends, you know, that come over and see the line as we've been in development and our photo shoots, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is golf. This is stuff for golf. I'm going to like have my daughter do golf, or like, wow, this is so cool. I want this, you know. So that's been really neat. And, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, in my 40s, early 40s, and, you know, I'm just starting out. So it's just kind of you know, if you have a dream, if you are passionate about something, don't be afraid. And I think that's also the message that we want to say to our girls, like, be out there, be, you know, courageous, like, try this out, you know, because you never know until you play it, and you never know until you build it, you know, who it's really going to impact. So we just hope that we're impacting, you know, and being there, showing up, saying, this is for you, we're here for you. You know, you're not an afterthought, you're not an accessory, you know, so, you know, just come be a part of what we're doing here at Marie Birdie.
Beautiful. And also a last note on the tags you mentioned earlier, that every tag comes with some tees and some inspirational messages. So again, just keeping it fun, light, and motivational, aspirational, and really just getting girls to love the game and love being outdoors, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Been having fun watching the PGA Show down in Orlando, Florida, at the Convention Center. This is the final day. I mean, I'm fired up. New clubs, new clothes, new tech. Might go for the whole shebang in hopes that I don't go out this spring with the same old crappy game. With more, let's go down to Florida and Matt Adams.
Thanks. You know, so much of the PGA Show is about finding those unique items that you think are going to be the stars of 2023 and beyond. And I think I have found one here, the DeWiz booth. This is a wearable device. It's based on neuroscience, and it measures your golf swing in real time and space. It sounds wild. Matt Lawrence is here with me. Matty, good to see you.
Matt, thanks.
So this product is so unique. I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it? How does this work?
Yeah, so it's a wearable device, like you said. You wear it on your lead wrist, connects to an app on your phone or tablet. And what we're doing is tracking all kinds of metrics related to that lead wrist throughout the golf swing. So to give you an idea here of how quickly you get this data, I just line up. I take a swing, and then right there in real time, we're taking that swing, we're converting it into this avatar where we can take a look at the hand path, blue line being the backswing, green line being the downswing. We can swipe up to get all kinds of other metrics that we're looking at.
You gotta be kidding me, look at this.
And really the idea here behind DeWiz and how it can help you is getting an understanding of, you know, where you are when you're hitting the ball well, mm-hmm. what happens when you miss hit a ball, where's the variance in my numbers, and what we provide and where the biofeedback aspect comes in through these two learning stimuli plates. So what we do here is we identify the problem, we identify the numbers that, you know, are leading to the issue. Let's say it's a length of backswing issue. I get too short in my swing, leading to, you know, the tempo being thrown off. I can go into the app, I can set individual parameters for myself, and now if I break that parameter and I break that threshold of what I'm doing, these two plates are going to give me a small little electrical impulse right there at the instant I break my threshold. And that's going to indicate and tell my brain right away that, you know, I missed the mark that I was looking for, and it's going to help you improve that much faster.
It is incredible. And some really big names have associated themselves with DeWiz as well. I mean, is it surprising you that you've got people of such prominence that have put their name behind DeWiz?
No, not at all. I mean, we provide data that has never been seen before, and to be able to get that understanding of what you're doing in the swing. A lot of people are accustomed to seeing what happens, you know, post-impact of the ball. We're looking at pre-impact, the cause and effect relationship between what you're doing in your swing and what you're seeing in your ball flight, your distance, and everything else that people are accustomed to seeing.
It is simply amazing. It is called DeWiz. If you log on to DeWizGolf.com, you can get more information. And with more, let's send it over to Amy.
Thanks so much, Matt. I am here at ShipStix. Those of you that have seen the commercials are already quite familiar with what this company does. But for those of you who are not, for those of you that like to take your golf clubs with you when you travel, sometimes it is such a hassle doing it at the airport. Well, ShipStix offers you an easy and convenient alternative. All you have to do is hop online, schedule either a drop-off or a pickup for your golf clubs. You print the label that they send you over email, attach it to your clubs, and you're ready to go. It just is such an easy way to not have to deal with lugging your golf clubs through the airport, and you can ship them worldwide. So if you got an incredible trip to go to Scotland and play one of those bucket list courses, or you're headed across the United States, you can do that as well. So be sure to check out ShipStix for your next golf trip. They can make it easy for you to get your clubs wherever you're headed. All right, back to you guys.
Great feeling to get the clubs waiting for you at the hotel on your buddy's trip. And a great week from the 70th PGA Show. On the other side of the break, our takeaways from golf's largest global business gathering. Back on golf today, Farmers Insurance Open third round underway. Sam Ryder, your leader, looking for his first PGA Tour win. He's off in just moments. Pre-game at the bottom of the hour. Before we go, let's send it back down to Orlando, our all-star team of Amy Rogers and Matt Adams, for some final takeaways from a very big week.
Guys, thank you very much. It is the final day of 2023 here at this PGA Merchandise Show, and what a show it has been. Amy, you did a great job this week.
Thank you.
What are your impressions?
Thank you, my friend. No, it's been great. It's been exciting just to be able to be here, be a part of the show. I was a field producer for Matt more than a decade ago, the one helping him get from point A to point B at this show. So to come here, be here full circle, to be able to co-host with you has been a surreal and very fun experience. So with that said, I just want to say a huge thank you to all the men and women behind the scenes, our field producers that worked with us this week, running us around, making sure that we were able to showcase all these incredible companies for you. Thank you for
all your hard work, and we hope you enjoyed getting to see what the PGA Show is all about this year. It's back.
It is back, gents. It is back in a big way, and it's so important because, you know, when you look at the game of golf, obviously there is division at the game's highest competitive tier, but when you're inside of this massive room, that kind of feels like lightning bolts amongst the gods, because for those that toil in what is now the rich fields of golf, they have produced a harvest that will be in your golf shops in the coming days, weeks, and months, where you can pick through whatever suits you. And there will be winners, because what's happening here is really, it's about dreams. Everybody here is selling a dream. The currency is hope. And it's all wrapped up in this package of a love for the game. It's that kind of a passion. And the industry needs it. It was so healthy. It was so great to feel this buzz again. It really was a great week. I enjoyed it. Thank you much. Thanks again, too, for everybody behind the scenes. Thank you to all of you at home for being with us for this journey. Gents, we'll send it back up to you, but it was a great one.
Matt and Amy, wonderful job all week. Rich, it's an important week for our game.
It is. I think if the sport, at least the professional level with LIV versus the PGA Tour, is what I would call cranky at the moment, I think at the participation recreational level, golf's in a really good mood right now.
Somehow,
in a good place.
It is.
What's going on here?
I don't know how all these accessories got magically transported up to our studios.
I know
here.
Which your favorite is. There it is.
I'm a kid from Van Nuys, California. Baseball, one of my early loves. Vin Scully, you know, sitting in the outfield with my dad. Dusty Baker, Height of Power. Pedro Guerrero, Fernando Mania, 1981. This one's not going back in the box. This is going in my trunk.
Who won the National League Championship this year?
So, yeah, the Astros won the AL.
And who won the NL?
Was it the
Phillies.
Oh, it was the Phillies.
It was the Phillies.
Once the Dodgers were out, I stopped paying attention.
By the way, nice Yankee item there.
The Yankees have won too much.
Yankees in golf. Ready to go all the way back to Sam Bird, who came up with the theory of connection. He was Babe Ruth's roommate and became a professional golfer.
Are you doing more swing tips right now?
Ralph Terry, Yankee pitcher, went on to play the PGA Tour champions. Rick Roden played for both the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Fantastic golfer.
And I told you earlier in the show that move that
Puerto Rico
showed me. So I basically have announced to the world that I found something, which the golf gods are always listening. I guarantee it, the next time I play my opening tee shot, I will find my ball in a bush. That's what I will find.
It's a game of dreamers, from the major champs
I loved it.
To the 30 handicap.